We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the program. 6:04 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Gwynn and Chris, hanging out with you. Some happy hour. Don't forget, in about 20 minutes, we're going to need a contestant to dial in 833-288-0973. See how that works? We're 97.3, so the last three numbers there are 973.
I see what they did there.
833-288-0973. We'll need a contestant to play in our pop quiz today with the idea of being keep Scraby winless.
Keep Scraby down.
Is the topic tonight going to be good or bad for me?
I will tell you that on this topic tonight, I would go 15 for 15.
That means it's bad for you, Scraby.
Yeah, that doesn't sound promising. It's like 1962 NFL stats.
That might give you a shout because I'm not very good
Darn
at it.
I'm going to have to redo the quiz. No, I think it's a typical pop quiz. I mean, it's 50-50, and we'll see how you do. Scrape.
Sorry, say that one more time.
I said it's a 50-50 quiz. We'll see how you do.
Well, I haven't done well.
No.
I beat my brother last week, and I'll never let him forget that.
And he still made fun of you.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, wait, hold on. You came in last, bro. Yeah.
All right, we're going to need a contestant in about 20 minutes, so get ready to call in to play a little pop quiz. Right now, we got to finish up our countdown. Number one. Top five scary movies. To recap, number five for me was Poltergeist. Number four, When a Stranger Calls. Number three, Silence of the Lambs. Number two, The Exorcist. And my number one scariest movie of all time probably doesn't even really get thought of as a horror movie, but it still scares me, and it's 45 years later.
Jaws. This has been playing in my house like the last week. My wife has been watching it.
I cannot believe that movie has had the effect it has had on me all these years later. I can go into the ocean when they open the beaches again and I go back into the ocean. There still, to this day, is not a day I don't think about a shark being swimming somewhere below the surface while I'm in the ocean. 45 years later, I just think, plus not only that, Jaws was a great movie. It was really well acted. Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider were all fantastic. Steven Spielberg at the top of his game as a director. But at the time it came out, man, it had everybody staying away from the beach for an entire summer or two. And to me, it still has an effect all these years later. So
yeah, there's no
question.
That's
why Jaws number one.
No question it's had an effect. Two things. I look back at that movie now, and I can't believe we believed that shark was real.
And right.
It's one of the worst sharks we'll ever see in a movie for the rest of our lives.
It's like good cardboard.
Point. Yeah. That being said,
the premise has ruined the ocean for me pretty much. Unless I am on the boat that is really big, I'm probably not dealing with the ocean that very much.
Just because of that movie.
I deal with sand and then boats. I don't actually deal with the ocean, so to speak.
Yeah, and Jaws is the reason why, and you're not the only person 100%. Who feels that way.
100%. had I never seen the movie Jaws, I might love Jaws right now. Like might love the beach, might love the ocean. That's not the case for me. No. Okay, my top five started with The Exorcist at five. Number four on my list, I'm trying to remember what it was. I believe it was
Conjuring?
No, it was The Ring. The Ring was number four. Three was Get Out.
Yeah.
Two was Conjuring.
Hey, by the way, Tony, never see Conjuring 2.
Yeah, I don't want to see any more Conjuring. I don't want to see any Conjuring. Moving forward.
He's good. He didn't even make it through the other one.
Yeah, I got through like almost the end of it. I didn't get to the end. Number one on my list, take you back to 1992. A movie called The Candyman. It's a movie that takes place in Chicago. It's an urban legend turns out to be real. And they're actually doing a remake that's coming out. This was supposed to come out this year. Funny quick story. When you see movies like this at a young age, those actors are in your mind are known as the characters they play. So.
Yes.
2 years back, went to Vegas for my birthday and saw the Candyman himself walking around.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
And we were like kids in the candy store running up to this guy. Oh, my gosh, you were in the Candyman. And he, you know, he was very cool, very nice. Polite about it. I just thought I'd share that story. But Candyman is the number one movie for me, horror movie.
Candyman,
you know,
is
the thing scary. About the thing about Candyman is you said they're bringing it out again. And
he's in it too, by the way.
Oh, the guy who was in it the first time?
The original Candyman.
The original Candyman. But the guy who's doing it the next time is Jordan Peele.
Yes.
He's directing, and he's the guy who did Get Out.
That's right. Tony Todd is the Candyman in the movie.
So he figures to do a very good job on this movie.
Very good,
scary movie.
Oh, man, I was about to say something that just left my head.
That's unfortunate.
It. Well, that'll never come back again.
Oh, man. I had a great point to make, too.
That's not coming back.
Dang it.
Tough break. Tony Todd played the Candyman.
Yes.
He was also in The Rock.
He was.
So you run into the guy and you went running up to him and go, hey, you're the Candyman?
Pretty much. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. Well, and then he should be excited about that. That's what made him who he is.
He was super cool.
He's no Craig T. Nelson.
No. See, Todd, if I would have asked Tony Todd about the Candyman, he would have talked about it. Craig T. Nelson blew me off. Still mad at Craig T. for that one. All right. By the way, I remember seeing a movie once with my stepsister when she was little. And you know the actor John Voight? He just passed away here a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And in the movie, he's the main action hero of the movie, and he goes diving under a train, and he does all kinds of things in the movie. And she was about 6 years old or something, my stepsister, and we go to the park the next day, and the movie we had just seen the night before on television or something, and she had been scared by it. And the real guy, John Voight, just like you're talking about this guy, Tony Todd, the real guy, John Voight, was walking around the park with his family. And my poor little stepsister, 6 years old, was scared beyond belief. Right. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, that's the man in the movie. He jumped under the train last night. He shouldn't be walking around. And so me and my dad had to actually take her over and introduce her to John Voight and kind of disrupt his day, but just said, sir, will you please explain to my stepsister that you're okay? You're just an actor. It was just a scene you did. And he was very nice about it. And he said, yes, I'm fine. It was a movie role, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I always remembered that.
You know what's really funny is that's really random that you saw him the day after that you watched the movie. But I was just watching a Seinfeld episode because I'm trying to catch up, and it was the one about George buys what he thinks is John Voight's car, and so the whole episode he's trying to prove that he bought John Voight's car.
John Voight.
Yeah, it was really funny. It ends up not being John Voight's car.
You know who John Voight's daughter is, don't you?
I don't.
Yes.
Who?
Tony?
Brad Pitt's ex-wife.
Angelina?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Angelina Jolie.
That's his daughter?
Yeah, that's correct.
Whoa.
Little news that you may not have known.
That blew my mind.
You never know what kind of information you're going to come up with on the program. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Don't remember, about 15 minutes, we're going to need a contestant for our pop quiz that's coming up. We're going to beat Scraby as we always do. First, we're going to take a quick timeout. I'm Chris Sello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. This is San Diego's number one sports talk station.
Hello, Matt Scraby. Winding down towards the end, about two segments to go. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show thus far. Just want to, I don't know how I missed it, but apparently Chris said that John Voight was had passed. I missed that. If I had heard that, I would have stepped in and said, no, he is actually still alive. Unless, you know something we don't know.
No, I don't. Okay. He's still alive. He's been in the television show Ray Donovan for the last 8 years. So I apologize. John Voight is alive and kicking at age 81. A Academy Award winning actor, a 4-time Golden Globe Award winner, and my deepest apologies to anybody who I misled there.
Who you might have spooked there.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got that cleared up. Okay. We have an interview for you in our spring training archives. Wayne Kirby, Padres' new first base coach, joined us, and it was a good conversation. Here's Wayne Kirby. Wayne, how you doing today, bro?
All good. All good.
He just looks like a very unhappy fellow.
I think he's ready to go home is what it is.
Well, that's probably true.
We caught him on the way out.
But, no, I'm all right.
We appreciate you coming by to join us.
Appreciate it.
For those who don't know, Wayne Kirby is one of the best in this game in terms of dealing with outfielders, dealing with base runners. I haven't had the chance to work with him personally, but I got a lot of buddies, Adam Jones in particular, Quentin Berry. These guys have all had a chance to be under his tutelage, and he brings it over here to San Diego. First of all, welcome to San Diego. Secondly, what are you trying to install in these guys as you, try to make your mark here?
Baseball players.
Yeah.
Bottom line, baseball players, playing the game the right way. You got a place to be it. You know, with one hops to bases, there's a time to let your arm show. Cut down on the errors. We're doing all the little things that we're supposed to do in game. I don't work on anything that we don't do in the game.
Right.
And we constantly working on that every day. 8:15, 11:15, doesn't matter. We're constantly doing that. And now we put in the movements in the outfield. And a couple guys are a little mixed up on that, but we'll straighten that out.
Yeah,
I know you will.
Hey, Wayne, Tony talked about base running, and that's something that you've coached and throughout your career. What do you think of when you hear broadcasters, people in the media say, well, you know what, nobody runs the bases the way they used to. You know, guys don't pay attention to running the bases. Is that an overstatement, or is there some truth to the fact that maybe athletes in this day and age don't pay as close attention to those little details?
Well, yeah, I can tell you this. They don't work on it as much. I've been around it. And the reason why, when we came up, we ran bases every day.
Every day, yeah.
And I think it's the injury thing. That's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, right.
But this camp, we've been really expressing about running bases the right way. You know, base running, it doesn't matter how fast you are, how slow you are. The ball will dictate what you do.
That's right.
And we it's early in the camp, they hit line drives, we got back, and didn't get double off. And that's so important because you can keep that train moving. You never know when you get that big one-run pop, and also turns over the lineup.
Yeah.
So, yesterday, Hedges, we've been working on looking in. He almost got hit by the ball, but but he looked in.
Right.
He looked in what he's supposed to. You can actually see the ball being hit and react to it. You don't need coaches on each corner.
Right.
So we're trying to teach our kids, we don't need coaches. You read what you see. And, it's the timing of it, they're understanding that they can do things that they never thought they could do. The first and third, you see a right fielder go to his left 4 or 5 steps. That's easy to read.
You don't need the third base coach to see.
Coach. So you know, I got one of these things that I always tell Glenn: put up his middle finger if you see him.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me,
Wayne. You've had some experience with Manny Machado. Obviously, right. You had him out in Baltimore as a young guy and saw him blossom into the star he is. What can you tell us about Manny that we may not know, we may not have learned in our first year?
He's an awesome gentleman.
He is.
You know, he puts, I mean, by him signing that big contract, I know he put a lot of pressure on himself. Plus, he missed a little bit of spring training, getting going and getting acclimated with all the new teammates and all that. But, you know, he's fun. He's getting after it. He's starting to own up to his mistakes. That's the best way I can – he's being honest with himself.
Yeah.
If you look yourself in the mirror and you say, am I giving all my best? I think
you kind of make it hard not to be honest with yourself, though.
Well, hey, he ain't going to slip. It ain't Manny. I don't discriminate.
Right.
It's A to Z on this team. I don't discriminate. You know, I'm going to push him to where we need to be. I mean, the ground ball on profile today, I was all over him. Catch the ball, you know. It doesn't matter. We got to get to a stage that little things like that matters.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole coaching staff is about right now.
Yeah, that's everything we've heard so far. I mean, and I believe it makes such a difference over the long course of the season. Wayne Kirby is with us, Padres first base coach. If you're on first base, how do you get a jump stealing second against a left-handed pitcher? What kinds of things are you looking for? Because I'm no base runner anymore, but I never understood how you ever steal second base against a left-handed pitcher because they're looking right at you.
Well, with the analytics and the video today, you can almost pinpoint when you want to go. Of course, you're going to get – back in the day, you had the Andy Pettit. For a move to be that good, they had to give the first baseman something.
Right, right.
Or their back foot may open up just a little bit to get that – it's got to be something.
There's something.
There's always something. And, you know, sometimes they don't show it on a video. You got to look eyeball to eyeball and check him out. And, you know, sometimes I go on that. But, you know, I mean, most of the guys, you just got to sit there and read. If you can't steal second, there's a good chance you're going to steal third. That's the way I look
right,
at it.
Right.
Not bad.
In terms of the defense on the outfield side, how good do you think this outfield can be defensively?
Unbelievable. I mean, I don't had a fast outfield. I don't had a slow outfield. And, Grissom is getting good jumps. And Will is paying attention, moving in the gap, coming in. And, you know, Tommy going to be Tommy. Tommy can run him down. So, as far as, you know, the outfield, I think it's going to be awesome. Even the backups, I mean, I'm happy with El Monte. I'm happy with Lagares. And the biggest thing is they're defensive-minded.
Yeah.
It's two sides of the ball.
There is, right.
It's two sides. It's three channels I put on. It's offense, that's a channel. Defense is a channel. Base running is a channel. Nothing should come in between those channels when you're on base. Offense shouldn't come on in your mind when you're on base.
Yeah.
So you have to focus on that part and, you know, turning it off, turning it on.
Wayne Kirby is with us, Padres first base coach. And I think a lot of people think the first base coach should just sit over there at first base and talk to the guy when he grab his batting gloves and all of that stuff when he gets a walk or something. You got the stopwatch over there, your time and everything. What do you think of when you think of first base coach in terms of what you can bring to the game as the game's going on?
Well, number one, you know, I've been in the game long enough, and you see guys come down first base. You know, prime example was Will, who had bases loaded yesterday, and I saw him a little upset with himself. He swung at a pitch early in the count that wasn't his, and my job is to pump him back up. Hey, he's in trouble, not you.
Right.
Take a little more time on deck and whatever you got to do, and, you know, focus on the situation, focus on the task in hand. And the next at bat, he came up and got his pitch and boom. I mean, we've been all around the game, and sometimes we succeed and sometimes we didn't. But you learn from your peers back in the day on how good RBI guys do it.
Right.
They
right.
take their time, realize the situation, and adapt to it.
Slow heartbeat is what they call it. Wayne, appreciate your time, and we know you got to get home to the fam. And thanks for coming by.
I appreciate it. Nice meeting you. I appreciate it. All right.
That was Wayne Kirby, Padres first base coach. First base coach on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU remains open. Rest assured your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com. We're going to run off to break. When we come back, Scraby has a chance to get his first win. That's right. Pop quiz coming from Professor Ella. When we return, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Remember the days of sitting in class?
Good to have all of you back to school.
And the teacher said the dreaded words, pop quiz. Chris Ello isn't your teacher, but he does come up with fun pop quizzes. Play along with us. The Chris Ello Pop Quiz commences now on 97.3, The Fan.
All right, the pop quiz started out as just something fun we could do once in a while. It has turned into an embarrassment for Matt Scraby.
I've won once.
You did.
You have not
won an unofficial
anything.
Match.
Beat AJ Casavell, who's going to join us for a virtual game tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, but...
Doesn't count.
Does yeah. not count. Tony wasn't there. Does not count.
How many times have we played this? Do we know? What's my
like
record?
37.
Okay, we haven't played that many times. I think
we're
my record
halfway
is,
there.
I think my record
we're halfway there.
0-5?
0-5? You better go up about six more losses.
We're at least into double figures on these
We're
things.
Definitely into double figures. Are you kidding? Yeah. This fool is trying to say 0-5. Knock it off, Scraby.
I'm trying to think of when we started this. Anyway,
Scraby,
anyway,
we've done it at least 15 times, and you have not won yet.
0-3, okay? We'll settle on that.
Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., and our guest celebrity contestant today, one of our favorite fans, Boston Mike, is on the line. Hey, Boston Mike, how are you?
Good, Chris, Tony, Graves, how's everything going?
Good.
Well, it will be good if I win.
No,
we'll find
it's
out.
It's going to be good after Scraby gets another L.
All right. Today's category. The Academy Awards.
Oh, I'm good
Oh,
at
my
this.
God.
You think?
Oh, terrible.
I hope, actually. Boston Mike just groaned a little bit.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a year. I'm going to give you two movies that were nominated for Best Picture in that year. You tell me which movie was named Best Picture.
I love this.
Scraby, this could be your night.
I think it
this
is.
This might be Scraby's night.
All right, we're going to start off with last year, 2019, Best Picture. Did it go to Parasite or to 1917? Scraby, why don't you start us off since you're so good on this?
Well, I know for a fact because I just watched this movie, Parasite.
Parasite. Tony?
Parasite.
Boston Mike?
Parasite.
Parasite was the winner of Best Picture last year. All right. Easy start. 2018.
He's taking deep breaths.
Tony Gwynn Jr. has to go first this time. Is it Bohemian Rhapsody or Green Book?
Green Book.
Green Book, says Tony. Boston Mike?
We'll go with Green Book.
He's going to go with Green Book. Scraby?
You've seen this movie, Chris. You love this movie. It's Green Book.
I love Green Book. Best Picture in 2018, correct.
Yes.
All right, you guys all have 2 points. 2016 now, we're going back a couple of years. Is it La La Land or Moonlight?
Ooh.
Boston Mike.
I believe this was the controversial moment. I can't remember which way it was. I'm going to go with Moonlight.
Goes with Moonlight. Scraby?
He's right. It was the controversial moment where they said it was La La Land, but it was actually Moonlight.
Tony?
Indeed, it was Moonlight.
Yep, Moonlight got it. They announced La La Land. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, or not Faye Dunaway, Warren Beatty and
I can't remember who it is now.
Maybe it was Faye Dunaway. Anyway, they announced La La Land, and all the people from La La Land started coming up on stage. they had to send them all back.
It was amazing.
That's tough.
It was amazing.
Had to send them all back. Moonlight was the winner. Great movie. 2014 now. Is it Birdman or The Theory of Everything? I think Birdman was the story of Matt Scraby.
Okay.
The Theory of Everything was the story of Stephen Hawking.
Uh-huh.
What do you got, Scrape?
I've seen both of them. They're great movies. I believe it was Birdman.
Birdman, says Scraby. Tony?
I have no idea. I'm going to go with Scraby on this. Birdman.
Birdman. Boston Mike?
Never thought I would say that. I have no idea. I'm going with Scraby.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with Birdman on that as well.
It was Birdman. You guys are all 4 for 4.
Yes!
Good job.
Hot contest.
Hot contest indeed. Here we go now to 2012. Was the best picture that year Argo, or was it Silver Linings Playbook?
Oh.
Tony, you're first.
Oh, this is horrible. I'm going to say Argo.
He's going to say Argo. Boss and Mike.
I'm actually going to go with Argo as well, Tony. I'm going to down that hill with you if it's wrong.
I'm going down the hill with Tony if he's wrong. Scraby?
I seem to remember Ben Affleck being mad that he... Oh, wait, no. It just popped in my head. He was mad he wasn't best director, but his movie won best picture, Argo.
Argo did win, correct.
There you go, Tony.
Guys are all 5 for 5 on guesses.
Guys are all 5 for 5. All right, we're going to get a little older now. 2009.
Oh, Lord.
And Boston Mike is up. Was the best picture that year Avatar or The Hurt Locker?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think the director got best director, but I don't know if she got best. I'm just going to go with Hurt Locker.
Going to go with Hurt Locker. All right. Scraby? Yeah.
Oh, man. What was the first one again? Sorry.
Avatar.
Avatar. A terrible movie, by the way. I'm going to go with The Hurt Locker.
You're crazy. Avatar was awesome. Ooh. Just like the Universal Studios ride, Avatar is awesome. I'm going with Hurt Locker, though.
Oh.
Hurt Locker is correct. You guys are all 6 for 6.
Wow.
I love this.
This is the first time for that.
This is the first time anything like this has ever happened. All right, 2005.
Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty.
Was the best picture that year Brokeback Mountain or Crash?
Ooh, Crash was a
And it is
one
up
too.
To Scraby.
Seen both movies. I believe Crash won.
Tony Gwynn Jr.
I would say Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, our first switch of the day. Okay. Austin Mike.
I'll tell you what, Tony. I'll say Crash. That way one of us loses and one of us wins and Scraby still loses.
Ah! Okay? He's blocking me.
Boston Mike playing
sorry,
a little strategy
it's
there.
It's okay.
The best picture in 2005 was, as Jack Nicholson surprisingly read, Crash.
Ooh. Oh!
Yes!
Oh. Brokeback Mountain won all the awards that night. Best writing, best directing, best this, best that. And at the very end, Crash won the best picture. And the director from Brokeback Mountain was inconsolable afterwards.
Yeah, I do remember this now.
Are we sure about that?
Oh, yes. I'm very sure about this because my brother-in-law did the sound for the movie Crash.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay.
I guess that ends that.
That's his claim to fame, and it's a great claim to fame to have because it was a great movie. All right. 2004. Tony, you're first. Was it Million Dollar Baby or Ray? The movie about Ray Charles.
Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby. Boston Mike?
I'll go with Million Dollar Baby as well.
Million Dollar Baby. Scraby?
Chris hates this movie. Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, it's not that good. I don't know why I won. Million Dollar Baby was the winner.
I remember that one. That was a big deal.
2002. Boston Mike is first. Was it Chicago or Gangs of New York?
Oh, no.
Ooh. I love Gangs of New York, but I feel like that's a crap one. I love it so much, though. I'm just going to go with Gangs of New York, Tony. I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know if you want to hop on the other one.
Woo! Gangs of New York. All right, Scravy, what about you?
What?
Oh, wait. Yeah, it's your turn,
yeah, Scravy.
I think I hated this movie, and I remember my mom loving it, and I think Chicago won. Chicago.
Chicago. Gosh, I don't want to follow Scravy right now. Give me Gangs of New York.
Oh, no.
Best Picture, 2002, Chicago.
Yes!
Oh, yes! No!
Scraby is 9 for 9.
Woo!
Oh, my gosh.
Boston Mike has 8. Tony has 7.
This is the best moment of my life.
Not yet. You could still
He's
screw it up.
Celebrating already. That means we're in this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That means we're in this.
We go back to 1999. Best movie, best picture, American Beauty or The Green Mile? And it is Scraby's turn.
I knew it was. Dang it. The first one.
American Beauty?
Yeah. First. It left my head for a second, but yes.
Tony.
What are the options again?
American Beauty or The Green Mile?
Oh, my gosh. Give me the... This is... What year is this?
1999.
Give me the American Beauty.
American Beauty, American Beauty. Boston Mike.
Yeah, I'll take American Beauty as well.
American Beauty was the winner.
Ding, 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 ding.
Gravy is 10 for 10. 10. Unbelievable.
Man, I've had way too much time on my hands.
All right. We go back to 1996.
Oh, I hope
the best picture that year was The English Patient or Jerry Maguire. And Tony's up.
Oh, no.
I'm up? I feel like I just went.
I just
What was it again?
The English Patient or Jerry Maguire?
It's got to be English Patient. Jerry Maguire is way too mainstream. I'm going English Patient.
Mm. English Patient. All right. Boston Mike?
I'll go with Jerry Maguire. Just split it up.
Splits it up.
I like it.
Scraby?
I mean, The English Patient I've heard of, so I'm assuming it's The English Patient because I would never watch anything called The English Patient, so I'm going to go with The English Patient.
Scraby is 11 for 11.
Here we go! This is absolutely ridiculous.
Here we go!
Wow.
Both of you guys got 9. There's only 4 left, guys. You got to catch him.
She should be going first the rest of these, right?
Yeah, he's got to go first now.
All right.
Yep.
1994, Best Picture, Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, my goodness. That is a great year for movies right there. I mean, both of them could have won easily. But I think it was Shawshank.
Shawshank. Tony?
I think it was Shawshank, too.
Boston Mike?
I'll go with Shawshank.
1994 Best Movie, Forrest Gump.
Oh, no.
We just blew our chance.
Oh,
you guys missed the chance to gain ground.
Oh.
By the way, Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite movies ever. Forrest Gump is in my top 100, but not close to Shawshank. But Forrest Gump won Best Picture.
Well, that's a bummer that I'm not undefeated anymore.
You're still in the lead. 3 to go. 1981.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't even thought of yet.
Chariots of Fire, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Scraby.
I mean, I can't see an Indiana Jones movie getting an Academy Award, but I love it, so I'm going to go with it.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
Tony?
I'm going with Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire. Boston Mike?
I mean, I'm going to go with Chariots of Fire, too. I got to catch up.
You guys caught up. Chariots of Fire.
Yes, let's go, Tony. Let's go, bro.
Let's do this, Boston Mike. Fold like a lawn chair, Scraby. Let's go.
Fold like a lawn chair.
28-3, man. Yep.
What's the score? And how many do we have left?
11-10 to 10.
Ooh.
And we got like three left?
Two left.
Ooh.
Scraby, in 1975, the best picture was Jaws or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I love that movie. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I believe, won. Oh, yeah. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay. Tony?
I think Scraby's right.
Okay. Boston Mike?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one. I don't think that's... Yeah, let's go with that one.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest swept the awards that year.
Mm. Great movie. Nurse Ratched.
Fantastic movie.
Here we go. Last one we need to miss right here, Scrabe.
I'm just going to walk out of the room, okay? If I win.
1953.
Oh, my goodness.
Scraby, how you feeling right about now?
Nervous.
Get your chance to be first-time champ.
I know.
Sweaty palms. He has them.
Oh, I do.
Best picture.
I think Chris is looking it up on Wikipedia right now.
1953.
I'm pretty sure he is.
What?
You're looking it up right now because you want to...
No, I wanted to give... Wait.
We're going to run out of bed.
No, we're not.
Well, yeah, it's got 6 seconds left. I can't restart it.
Yes, you do. You have to restart it. Scraby.
Well, it has the open on it, so I have to wait for the open to be over.
Oh, all right. So we'll have to do this in complete
silence.
Silence.
Can we?
I got to get. I'm looking for the other. Okay, here we go. 1953, best movie, The Greatest Show on Earth, or High Noon?
Commences.
Whoops. Did you say The Greatest Show on Earth?
Or High Noon?
I've never even heard of either of these.
High Noon is a classic Western. The Greatest Show on Earth is about a circus, I think.
I think I'm just going to go with High Noon.
He went with High Noon. He's leaving it open for you guys if you care to guess the other way.
You know we got to go the other way. I'm going Greatest Show on Earth for the tie.
Yeah, I'm going Greatest Show on Earth as well. No! Let's go. Come on, man.
1953, Best Picture, The Greatest Show on Earth.
He tied it.
It's 12-12-12. And I have a tiebreaker question.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Whoever comes the closest without going over. No, I'm just going to say whoever comes the closest. The movie Ben-Hur, the movie Titanic, and the movie The Lord of the Rings. Those three movies hold the all-time record for most Academy Awards won by a single movie. Mm. How many Academy Awards did those three movies each win?
Wow.
And we're going to go with our guest contestant to guess first, Boston Mike.
I don't know what the total number of those awards are. Let's go with, like, 13.
13, says Boston Mike. I'm going in a... I wrote it down, Boston Mike, Scraby, T. Gwynn. So, Scraby, you're next up in alphabetical order. Scraby?
I will go with 15.
15. Tony Gwynn Jr., how many awards did... Titanic, Ben-Hur, and Lord of the Rings win?
Seven.
Wow. Seven.
Jeez.
Those three movies hold the all-time record for victories by one movie with 11 Academy Awards. The closest is Boston Mike, and Boston Mike is the champion.
Oh! Wait. I thought you said without going over.
No,
I changed my mind.
He changed it.
I changed it.
He changed his mind, you know?
I did change my mind. Sorry, Tony. You were doing strategy?
I was doing strategy right there.
Oh, that was good strategy. I'm sorry.
I was taking the over.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. Scraby somehow Winless. Found a way to let it get away.
Man.
He joked it off. Like, I told you he was going to fold like a lawn chair.
Thank you, Boston Mike. Good job. Hey,
thanks, Boston Mike.
You guys are awesome.
All right, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks, man, for being a great fan of the show. Scraby, that was hilarious. I had to go back in the archives to make it a true 50-50 on 1953 because I think you probably would have got my other one that I had. So,
What was it?
I was going to do either All the President's Men or Rocky. Scraby, would you have got that? Scraby?
I think Rocky won it, right?
Yeah, Rocky won. So.
This dude was you. Hey, that's your. That is definitely your category, Scraby.
That was it good, really Scraby. Is. You were really impressive in that category. We can poke fun still at you for never winning again, but you were really good on that one.
You still found a way to lose, but you were impressive.
If I'm being the equivalent of a sports team, who am I right now? Bills?
I can't even say the Buffalo Bills because that's the first time you've really been that close.
God, you were so close that time. I don't know, the Clippers. Hey, good show today, everybody. We're back at it tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
I have a quick programming note. We have confirmed Supervisor Nathan Fletcher on the show tomorrow at 4:20 to talk about what we're doing in San Diego in regards to the virus.
Good deal. And we'll have our good news of the day to kick things off at 3 o'clock. So be with us sharp and ready to go. For Tony Gwynn Jr., I'm Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Have a great night, everyone.
Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.